Well, brothers and sisters, it is a blessing to be together, and we have so much to rejoice about, so much that the Lord has done just mightily and wonderfully. I believe that the Lord would have me continue and actually make sure that there isn't a need for a correction, or make a correction, maybe is a better way to say it, to something I said last week. So you have to pay attention. What I spoke about was faith. And today I'd like to speak about faith and testimony. So for those Wilhelms looking for a title... Faith and testimony. The emphasis that I believe the Lord has given me on faith is the fact that in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer tells us that Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith, and who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I gave the impression, and I've looked at it more carefully, and it was on purpose, that Jesus being the author, and I didn't say it this way, but this is what I was intending to say, and I disagree with myself now. that the author, the way I made it sound was that the author is the creator of faith. Now, this is very ticklish ground, because the Lord is the creator of all things. But faith is a matter of the Lord's authorship. And the word in the Greek means beginning. This is author. The word that's being used is, it means the beginning, it means power, it means leader. Now, what I take from that, and as I looked at this and considered it, the Lord is the testimony. It is the testimony of the Lord that causes faith to be. It is the testimony of the Lord that he does not, and there may be a circumstance or something in the word that isn't, not that it disagrees. There are so many facets of faith. You can't just say this is it. But my point being that God, Jesus, is the author of faith. He is the one who, by his testimony, by who he is, by what he does, he gives us the basis for faith. We are a participant. And this is where this confusion came from in the message last week. I was talking about the David and Goliath story, and about the army, and about Saul. And when they went out to fight the Philistines, they didn't have any faith. And I was suggesting that God withheld faith from them. He did not. I don't believe that he withheld faith from them. They just didn't have it. They had the testimony. They had the testimony of all of the history. Samuel, this was at the time of the prophet Samuel. Samuel had just anointed David. And Samuel was the last of the judges. And every judge in that time period in the land came forth and conquered by the hand of the Lord, by the power of the Lord. And that was a testimony. They went out and conquered and defeated enemies that were far greater than them, far better armed. They fought within themselves. They did things that take the land and keep the land. In the book of Joshua, how they fought the kings of the land and how they defeated them. All those, the Philistines were nothing compared to what they had already seen, and yet they were stuck in that situation, David and Goliath story. They were stuck, unable to drive the Philistines out, unable to leave their position, and they were being taunted by an uncircumcised Philistine. All right. I hope I haven't confused you more than starting. Let me go to where I got I gained understanding of this faith. The Lord revealed to me in the Gospel of Mark, and I haven't stolen this yet from Ed, as far as I know. He may do more with it than I am. But I was reading the story, and the Lord put it on my heart. I was reading the account of the woman who had the hemorrhage of blood. And, you know, I'm sure you are aware of the story. This is Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. And a woman had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hand of many physicians and spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, came up in a crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I touch his garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, this is the key, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." In trying to understand that, it almost sounds like what the Lord is saying to her is that the faith that you had, you is almost like coin, all right? You have spent faith. You had faith, and you've spent it, and you bought healing. Now, that's not right. The faith that made her well is believing in the Lord Jesus. And this sets at odds this thought that I had that the authorship was creation. He didn't create the faith in her. He didn't even know she was there, according to the record. Now, God had prepared the way. The Father had prepared the way, had brought her there. The testimony of Jesus had brought her there. She knew that he was healing. She knew that he was able to heal. She knew that she had nothing within her. She had no money. She was desperate. And she came and she realized that if she touched him, he would have the power to heal her. And so he did. And so he tells her, "Your faith has made you well." It was her willingness to accept and to touch before all of this crowd, or within this crowd, that she was able and willing to come to him and touch his garments, because she had nothing left. That was all she had. The Lord healed her because she believed that he could. And that's what the definition of faith. If we look again at Hebrews chapter 11, speaks of faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. She believed that he would heal her. She came to him believing. She came to him hoping, desiring, without saying it, pleading to be healed, because no one else could heal her. That's faith. The act of healing was the Lord's. It was the power that flowed out of him that healed her. She believed that he could and that he would, and he did. Now, testimony. The testimony of the Lord is why John was on the island of Patmos. You remember that at the beginning of Revelation, he says, I was on the island of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus. Now, the testimony of Jesus is Jesus. Testimony means witness. It means, it's like being in a court case that you testify, I saw A do this to B. That's the testimony of Jesus is Jesus healed, Jesus saved. I've seen it. I know. I believe it. And John was there because he was a threat to those who didn't believe. They did, you know, the world hates Jesus. There's no embracing of him. And there's no believing that he is who he says he is. There's no believing that he is the healer. There's no believing that he is the Son of God. We see that throughout the scripture. John was a testimony of Jesus' power, of Jesus' life. All the apostles were a testimony. All of us are a testimony. If we have trusted in the Lord Jesus, we have become a testimony of him, of what he has done, what he is able to do. And when that is seen, or when that is the Lord calls forth our testimony, by faith we have the power of Christ to do the things that he has asked us to do. So what I'm trying to say, and again, I've got some other examples, some things I want to share beyond this, but Jesus is the author. And the other thing that I shared last week and went on about was that he is the finisher. He is the perfecter of that faith. He walks with us that we might know, that we might know who he is, and that we might have experience, that we might, and it's not about just having experience, but we do have, we walk with him and we come to know him better. Our eyes are open to see him better. It's not that he's changed, but we see him better. We know more. And he is building within us. He is building within us this testimony. He is building within us faith. I've seen him do it. The example I used last week, and I'll say it again, is David. You know, and in this story, the story of David and Goliath, he talks about his faith was a big part of his, well, his faith was built in his life as he walked and did the things that he did. He walked with the sheep, and he saw things, and the Lord touched his heart, and he accepted. He embraced the things of the Lord. He embraced who he was. He saw him in beauty. He saw him in power. And he saw him, and he speaks of it in that, particularly in that story, in talking about Goliath. He says, I have killed the lion and the bear when they came to take the sheep from the flock. God did that. So I can do that. I can kill this Philistine. The other, so his this testimony of the Lord's power in David was very real and very clear to him. And he also sensed the fear that was in the army, that they were there, they were stuck. They simply did not believe. They had the testimony was all around them. They had the history. They had the prophets. They had Moses. All of the things that God had done before, they had seen. They knew about it. They celebrated. They had the feast. They had the David's brothers, raised in the same household. They would have observed the Sabbath. They would have attended the feasts in Jerusalem. They would have read the scriptures as was commanded. That was part of their life, how they were raised. And yet they didn't believe. They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith. They had the testimony that this army of the Philistines cannot stand against us. But they didn't believe. When it came down to looking them in the eye, when it came down to listening to Goliath and seeing him, this enormous man, as Saul pointed out, trained from his youth to be a warrior. They saw him and they looked at him through the eyes of flesh. That's what Saul saw. Saul the king, who should have been the one to face Goliath and to defeat him, to go before the Lord and say, Lord, provide the way. Make it so that this enemy of yours can be defeated by us. And the Philistine army, the same. They could have overwhelmed them. They should have been able to, if they had faith, if God had anointed them to lead them, if the Spirit had been able to get their attention and they had come to him, he could have enabled them to do that. But they didn't. They saw a giant. They saw a massive army. They saw an army on a hillside that they would have to attack. They saw a need for armor. They saw a need for things that they didn't believe they had the heart. They didn't have the heart for. They didn't have the belief of. David came and he had no hesitation. He saw the situation and realized it was a spiritual situation, that these are God's enemies, and he is taunting the armies of the living God. He has no hope. His hope was in his mighty strength. And certainly that was formidable. but it was not capable of standing before God. And so what happened? Again, testimony of the Lord. David went out to face him. And so here we are. This is chapter 17. Wrong page. Okay. Verse 41. David's already gone through. He's spoken to Saul. He's rejected the armor that Saul gave him. And he goes forth as he was, just as the shepherd boy, as the shepherd young man went after the lion and the bear. He went forward. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, why did David speak to the Philistine? David knew he was going to kill him. He went out to kill him. It was his intent to kill him. Why did he speak to the Philistine? He spoke to the Philistine to lay down before the army of Israel what was going to happen and who was going to accomplish it. "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and all that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." They knew this. They had heard these words. They knew of the, Gideon, just as an example, 300 men. They went forth in faith. Abraham went forth with 300 and chased and destroyed the armies that came against the land, that came against Sodom, where Lot was and carried Lot off. They went by faith. They believed that God would deliver, that God would provide. They knew these things, and so did David. And so he declares in faith what is going to happen, and so it does. He struck and killed Goliath. The army rose up. The army had a testimony in front of it and saw and heard the words, and go forth they went. And they destroyed and they chased the Philistines until they couldn't chase them anymore. And they killed them and left their bodies were given, as David said, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. Now, that was a very, that was a battle. You know, that was something very remarkable he said, this will be a testimony to the nations that God delivers his people, that God protects his people. Well, what about us? What about us with this in our lives? I'm thinking about the life of this body of believers, things that have happened, things that the Lord has done among us that have raised up faith and caused us to see him, caused us to go forward. You know, how in the world, there wasn't any way in the world, could we have given so much, So much money went through this fellowship over to the church in Russia, and to raise up and to support the people doing a work there who were dealing with the homeless and those who were struggling, to that the word of God would go forth. Yeah, Zhenya, and all the mighty things that have happened there. How did that happen? That didn't happen because we were smart or had a good idea. It was based upon the things that the Lord had done among us. We continued to go forward when he spoke to us. We heard his voice, and in faith, believing that he has done, he will do again, we went forth and did those things. I'm not trying to give us any, there aren't any kudos that go to us. We were able to observe it and to bask in the glory of the Lord and the power of his might. And there are many, many examples like that in your own lives. I remember being afraid, and I don't even remember what the circumstance was, but something was threatening in my mind, and the Lord made it, or confusing, I think, is more what it was. And the Lord spoke to my heart, I am the rock on which you stand. And that is a matter of faith to me now. It is not a question that when something comes along and challenges what I think ought to be, or needs to be done that I don't feel I have the strength to do, or to pray about even. I am reminded by the Holy Spirit that he is the rock on which I stand. And he is. As I have the assurance of that hope that he is able to deliver, that he is able to deliver. Looking at Mike and thinking of your grandson, and looks hopeless, but the Lord is able, and the Lord will endeavor. He will do all that there is, all that he can do, to change his heart and to bring him back to life from looking at death. So now, is the I'm going to stop there. I think that's enough. There are other things that I wanted to say, but I don't think they're going to help. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we will embrace the Lord and trust him in everything that he is doing, that no matter what the circumstances are. If we look around the world today, we were talking about it in the kitchen, there are just such turmoil, so many threats to life on this planet. So many that hate the Lord. So many things that are causing fear to rise up. We have a God who is able. He is the rock upon which we stand and can stand and trust. And that we need to be before him to know what he would have us do, how he would lead us, what he would show us. So, I'll close there. Lord, I ask that you help. Help us to understand. I know you do. You desire for us, Lord, to walk by faith, that we might be pleasing to you if we believe, and that you will come to us if we ask, and you will minister to us if we will come before you. We ask you, Lord, to grant us the testimony of Jesus and join with us that we might have faith to believe. In your precious name we pray. Amen.